We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Ba, 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 ba. Bang, bang, kela, oda, oda, do, ola, shalom. Mekadesh, ha-shabbat, umbare, shevi'im. Kela, oda, oda, do, ola, shalom. Mekadesh, ha-shabbat, umbare, shevi'im. Ayaya, shalom. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finn, and we've got a great show for you today. Where are you? It's Memorial Day weekend, and people are thinking summer. So if you're thinking summer, you should be thinking summer camp for the kids. So we're going to be talking with Detroit's own Rabbi Chaim Moshe Bergstein, the director of Ganenu Day Camp, and talk about how really important it is. It's not just a thing, but it's really very important to send your kids to summer camp, your kids, your grandkids. Tell your friends about their kids that they should be going to summer camp. The portion of the week, which we'll be discussing in the second half of the show, is the portion of Bahalosecha. It's the end of the book of Leviticus. Can you believe it already? We'll also be featuring Jewish Hour poet laureate Michael Druck. In the second half hour, we've got a couple of a cappella pieces which we're playing somewhere throughout this next hour. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Fires broke out throughout central Israel, forcing evacuations of many towns in the area. The cause is unreported, but most of the blazes started on Lag BaOmer, which is celebrated in Israel with bonfires. There's currently a heat wave and dry spell in Israel, and there's all kinds of warnings about not lighting bonfires. But six people have been taken to hospital with light injuries. 10 armored vehicles were delivered to the Palestinian Authority by the European Union. The PA says vehicles are needed to protect against Arab extremists. Small towns in the area are concerned that the Palestinians will use the vehicles to attack them. There remains in some very interesting other news. The remains of more than 1,000 Jews shot by Nazis during the Holocaust that were uncovered in Belarus in February were reburied this week. The remains were discovered during construction of a new hotel. In this week's acts of anti-Semitism around the country, three fires were set to rabbis' homes in suburban Boston. Two firebombs were found outside of a synagogue in a JCC in Chicago, and swastikas were spray-painted on a synagogue in Staten Island. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We're going to play a little music to start us off this morning. This is up is Soul Choir. They're the backup band for the last decade or so of Avram Fried. And so they've put together a mashup of a 40-year tribute to Avram Fried.
Amar, כחומר, כחומר ביד, ביד היוצר.
כל השירים, פיוטים, מזמורים, סיפורים, כולם לירושלים, ירושלים.
Bring the house down, it's time, it's time. We can bring.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurances accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online Rabbi Chaim Moshe Bergstein, my good friend, who is the Chabad representative in Farmington Hills and also the director of Ganenu Day Camp. We're going to be talking today about the importance of summer camp. How are you today, Rabbi Bergstein?
Thank God, and I hope everything is well with you and your listeners.
Baruch Hashem, the best it could possibly be. Okay, now, when I was growing up, summer camp was sort of like, it was one of those things. It was yeah, it was no. My mother said, no, you don't need to do that. And I never went to summer camp. So, but the Lubavitcher Rebbe was really a big proponent and really pushed the idea of kids being in summer camps. Could you give us a little bit of background about why summer camp is such an important thing, Rabbi Chaim Moshe Bergstein?
Well, very simply, you have 10 weeks of vacation after school ends in June, maybe even more, maybe almost 11 weeks. And what happens during those months, the child forgets everything that the child had been studying. And it's almost like you have to refresh the child again when the child comes back in September or late August.
Yeah, that used to happen to me when I was a kid. It was like the first month, the whole month of September was like doing review of what we had done for the last 6 months of the previous year.
Yeah. So especially when you're dealing with religious training, the best years of a child's life to train the child, so the child will know right from wrong, the child will know what his or her commitment should be, is when the child is young. And you go through a period of almost 2.5-3 months where the child has no religious education, just left to the street. So that undoes an entire year. The child could have the best possible experience in school, and it gets undone in a couple of days in the summertime. I remember that from my own experience as a child. We spent endless days just playing ball, and you know, there was no education. There was no inspiration. It was just, the only thing that mattered was how well you hit the ball and your ability to socialize. But there was no, certainly nothing productive at that time. And the Rebbe saw this as a tremendous waste of human and certainly Jewish and spiritual life and energy. You can actually harness the enthusiasm that a child has once the child is out of school and do things in a different light, and the child actually can study or get more from a camp program that the child gets from school. I remember hearing from my students, and I taught high school in Boston, and one girl told me, I get more from summer camp than I get from 10 months with you. you know, but I didn't understand that till I experienced these kinds of things, having a day camp for now for this 31st year. I see the enthusiasm. I see the accomplishments of the kids. They're able to get more from those few weeks than they can in certain things, certain ways, than they can from an entire year of school. And so this actually not only augments the school, but the lessons and the commitments that the child has gotten through study over the last year and years, not only is kept, but is reinforced and augmented by the camp experience.
So we're talking... We're talking now. We're not just talking about sending your kids getting them out of their parents' hair or their mother's hair, whatever, whoever's taking care of the kids for those couple of hours that they're mm-hmm. in day camp. But we're talking about actually having some kind of a quality experience. And this is not baseball camp. It's not horseback riding camp. It's not drama camp. Here we're talking about it's being like a Jewish theme camp.
A Jewish spiritual infusion where life is seen in a different light. Every part of life is seen through different glasses. You know, fun is a different kind of fun. It's not just fun for the belly, but it's fun for the whole person, for the spirit of the person. It actually transforms the child. The camp program, camp experience is so transformative that it gives the person such a different perspective. It makes learning fun. The child, you know, the children sing our songs. The children used to say, "We can't wait till next summer." You know, it would be sad to see summer go. You know, I don't know how many kids were sad to see class go. You know, but mm-hmm. they were sad to see the summertime over and day camp end because of the experience. So it depends, but today, in today's day and age, the way in which our camp or camps like ours are run, it's a totally different experience. It's not just to take the kids away out of the parents' hair and to fill up their times, but it really becomes an experience. Life takes a different meaning. When you see it from the perspective of a Torah Jew, how a Jew is supposed to look at life and look at everything in life, suddenly going to see a farm, looking at a tree in the sunset, has a different perspective. It's not the beauty, the physical beauty, but there's a spiritual dimension. There's an enthusiasm that is lacking in other areas, which is infused in our camps.
Okay, I want to talk about that a little bit later. That's a fascinating point. But let's give a little history of Ganeinu. You said Ganeinu started 31 years ago. You're saying
this is the 31st year. It's actually 30 years ago we started, but this is our 31st year.
Okay, 30 years ago.
And my daughter was 16 years old at the time. Don't tell her that, you know how old she is. But she was 16 years old, and she said, "I have a friend, and I want to do something. I want to have a camp experience, but I'd rather do it home than anywhere else. Can we start our camp? I used to have a camp when we first got here for a year or two that my wife had more babies, and we had other responsibilities, and we stopped at day camp. But she says, it was good then. I want to do that, and I want to do it bigger." And people were saying, no, the bird says, "I would do that," and they're making fun. Our first year, we had 39 children. Second year, we had over 70 children. Third year, we had over 100 kids. By the time the fourth year was around, we had over 150 kids. We were ready for another place, and that's when we put our place where we are now. And the numbers have been hovering anywhere between 120 and 150 kids, sometimes as high as 180 kids during the summer. And together with counselors and staff, we have close to 200 people that we service during these 5-6 weeks. Now it's 6 weeks. We have 5 days, 5 regular camp weeks, and then 1 week trip camp. And it's become a really tremendous experience for all the kids that are involved and the families that are involved. You know, we have the families involved because we need a lot of volunteer work, and so the families, they exchange tuition costs for volunteer work, and they become part of the family and part of the activity. So it really does harness them and gets them involved as well.
Okay, interesting. If you're just joining us, our guest today is Rabbi Chaim Moshe Bergstein. We're talking about summer camp and why it's not a luxury but really a necessity. So now at your day camp and at Jewish day camps around the country, especially the Camp Gan Israel ones, which is this whole network of Jewish kids, how do you get a kid who has been sitting in a classroom for 10 months to actually sit down and in a class experience in the summertime when the kid really all he really does want to do is like run around and play?
Well, you know, it starts with the trip down to the camp. You know, the kids are picked up by bus. They have a lot of the counselors on board. The counselors see to it that they smile to them. They get them not riled up, but they get them enthused. There's a lot of singing that goes on. And before we go and break up into bunks, we have lineup, and the lineup is meant to get the kids to exercise a little bit and to just let off some steam, let off some energy, jump around. But there's always a message that's a wholesome message within that. And it makes jumping up and down and doing things and being enthusiastic and burning off some energy, it makes it wholesome, it makes it good. And we want them to do that. We want them to have a good time.
So the learning is not, it's not fluff. You're not giving them like, you know, baby stuff. You're giving them like actual content in this summertime program.
Mm-hmm. So we limit it to an hour or two. We have some prayers and we have classes. The classes are different. It's not formal learning. When they get me to volunteer, so I give them stories. I tell them stories of real life people and real life events that they can relate to their own lives. It's not book learning, but it is learning. You're learning the experiences of people, how they applied their experiences, their Jewish experiences, into the real world. And it's a different type of lesson. So the kids are. They're usually interested, unless I'm boring them, but usually the kids are interested to hear what went on with people of a long time ago and what they did and the challenges they had and how that applies to them. It really was it's a different type of learning. And when you have a different type of learning, kids respond. You know, it's not formal book learning. And some of it is book learning, but it's meant to be lighter. It's meant to be more fun. And what happens, though, is that in the process, we're able to transmit some life lessons that we ordinarily couldn't because of the constraints of the book. The book doesn't always allow you to talk about things that are relevant to a child's life or family life that resonates with them. And the camp does. We're able to do that.
Okay, so camp goes, it's a full day camp, and you just have like an hour or so,
that's
which
correct.
Is devoted to like the Jewish part. But then you happen to mention earlier that when they do other things in camp, which are like normal camp activities, things that which are going on in every camp around the world, that there's an added spiritual dimension. Could you, Rabbi Bergstein, explain what it is that you mean? If your kids are like playing softball, that there's like a spiritual dimension?
Okay, yeah. When you the whole idea of values, loving your fellow like you love yourself, very basic principle, treat people like you'd like to be treated. Sportsmanship, if it's just sportsmanship, doesn't mean as much as v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, including others who don't play ball as well, because it's a Jewish value. Make sure that everybody has a turn. Make sure you're concerned about the other person's feelings. Make sure your words are not corrosive. The lessons that we teach are very simple lessons. And they're lessons that are taught all over the world, but when they give it a spiritual dimension, it gives them a reason to do that. Why should I treat the other person, you know, nicely? I mean, the other person just can't hit a baseball. You know, why should I be nice about him? He struck out. And, you know, the answer, you'd be flustered to find an answer. But when you go ahead and you say, well, this is found, and that's one of the most important things is realize how fortunate you are that you could do things, and realize also that a person's fortunate enough to be able to do things should share with others and be able to help another person. And that's what God wants from us. This is the purpose of creation, is that we share. We learn to be kind to each other. That gives the child a different perspective, even in playing. The whole idea of being responsible and taking responsibility for themselves and not blaming other people. And that translates into play. You know, at every juncture of one's physical life, when you add a spiritual dimension to it, it takes on different meaning, and that which is ordinary suddenly becomes a lesson in life. It becomes something inspirational. It's the way it is. You know, if you say, God created us and created everything, look how beautiful these things are, and realize that this is only for yourself, and you realize that somebody cares about you to give you such a beautiful world, it's a different perspective. The child is not as demanding and not as selfish as before, because the child has a different perspective in all that he sees or she sees. And this is, you know, you have to make sure that you have the proper staff around, you know, the proper background for the staff, make sure that the staff are prepped at how to deal with children. I always maintain if you don't love children, then deal with animals. Don't deal with children. Don't destroy kids. You should be a teacher only if you love children.
Indeed.
Don't love children. Don't be a teacher.
Okay. Our guest today is Rabbi Chaim Moshe Bergstein. He is the Chabad rabbi of Farmington Hills, and together with his wife, Chaya Devorah, the directors of Ganenu Day Camp, here serving the greater Detroit area for 30 years now. So you talk about there. One of the things that I noticed when I was a camp counselor, when I was very many years younger than I am today, was the reaction of other people when we were on trips, and the comments that were made as to the how well behaved the kids were and how they acted in public. Are you getting that kind of same type of reaction when you take the Ganenu kids on trips, Rabbi?
I used to, but I can't comment on it today. I'm in the outer edge of dealing with the camp, so I can't comment on how it is today. We used to get the comments, but of course, the way children behave is reflective of how people perceive them and perceive their teachers and their religion, and that's what we focus with our campers, and our counselors. And I'm sure that this is how people perceive us, but I can't comment except for things that happened a long time ago, because I'm not involved in that part.
Okay.
I come and I teach the kids a couple of times a week, and I help fund the camp, but actual day-to-day involvement I leave to the professionals, at least to my wife, to Mrs. Bishalovin, to others who are the head counselors. I leave it to them to run it and to get these reports.
Okay.
So I can't comment on
okay,
that.
Fair enough. How about who is Ganenu trying to attract? There's a various spectrum of religious Jews, and we'll give a little plug for Ganenu. And who's your demographics?
We never, ever try to differentiate between children. We have the spectrum. But today, of course, most of our kids are Orthodox, but we have kids from different families, from people who are not Orthodox, conservative, Reform, children who are in the process of conversion, children who, from obviously mixed marriages. We do not reject any child in our camp as long as their intent on following the rules and that the they're willing to, you know, to accept our schedules and how and the classes and so on. So it's we try to cater to as wide a spectrum as we can. Obviously, over the years, our clientele has changed. We had for the first few years, our kids were mostly modern Orthodox and some non-Orthodox, and we had a smattering of kids who came from the very Orthodox community. As time went on, just the way the nature of the thing is that people in the Orthodox community are looking for more outlets for their children in the summertime, we became an attractive place for them to send their kids. And so as time went on, we have more of them and less of the others. But our history was our goal, and our history was to be part of the outreach program. You know, my job is living in Farmington Hills, not Oak Park, Southfield. Not that that's a bad place. Those are wonderful places. But my job is to attract those who are the outside possibly looking in rather than those who are already in and keeping them in the fold. I don't mind doing that, but that's not my my goal. But at the same time, the reality is today I'd say at least half of our kids are from the Oak Park Chabad families, and a smattering of other kids from the Orthodox community.
So lots of room, though, for other people if they want to. Let's we're running out of time, so let's give a if people want to are thinking about it. And I was always amazed that growing up reading the New York Times, and the Sunday New York Times in January was already filled with Times Magazine was already filled with ads for send your kid to whatever camp. So it's not too early to be thinking about sending your kid to Ghanaian. So if people want to thinking, but they're interested, they want to have to be, for those listening outside the Detroit area, I don't think it's going to help. I don't think you're going to ship your kid in every day because it's just a day camp. But give us some information. How do people get in touch with those in charge of Ghanaian?
They can call Mrs. Bergstein. Her number is 248-761-1403. They can call me, 248-613-1809. Again, 248-613-1809. Or the Ghanaian number and leave a message, 248-932-8584.
Does Ghanaian have a website, or will we reach the 21st century?
There is My Ghanaian.
My Ghanaian.
gmail.com.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, and wonderful.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, and let's hear from all your listeners. Yeah. We're open for you. We'd love to service you. Thank you.
That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing, and take care. Continued success.
And you as well.
Okay. Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale. Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Up next, it is such an honor. I love doing this, and we should be doing this more often, actually. But how many radio programs actually have their own poet laureate? But the Jewish Hour is now honored to welcome its own poet laureate, Michael Druck. How are you today, Michael?
Hashem, I'm fine, thank you.
Things are going well in the life of Michael Druck?
Yeah, I actually wrote a poem this morning. I thought I would just do this poem today. I can't resist this poem. I'm sorry. I apologize to everybody in America for this poem. No, I'm not going to. I love it.
Okay. This one's fresh, you're saying. Fresh Michael Druck. Are we the first ones to hear this?
I wrote it this morning.
Wow. Okay. I'm really honored.
I just had to. It's
It's not like sometimes what I do with my music is I go deep into the depths of the archives of the Jewish Hour Radio, you know, CD collection and pull out something that's been just like, no, this is brand new, this is fresh. Okay. Are we going to introduce it? You're just going to read it and we'll talk about that afterwards.
Yeah, I think we'll talk about it. You know, you'll first say, what does this have to do with Judaism? But you'll find out quick enough.
Okay.
Here it comes. They gave me their politics that day. They gave me the baseball scores. They told me they're having Lock Bomer at a Chinese restaurant, but they cannot tell me more. They tell me about the weather and how their blood work went. They say the train to Omaha is at 6:15, or how their money was spent. They're going off to Greece on such and such airline, arriving the next day, changing flight in midstream. They are off and on their way. All the information as if I've the need to know. Sweating out a summer or digging out from snow. But I have nothing else I need to know. As long as I have Torah thoughts, nothing else has meaning.
Okay, that took a while to get there. I was really like saying, where is he going with this? Okay, understood. So, there is a lot of trivialness in the world. It really is. Our day, if we were to like remove all the trivial things that happen to us and all the trivial discussions that we enter into in the course of a day, I don't think our days would be very long. What do you think, Michael?
With all the trivial stuff, actually the day becomes longer.
That's what I'm saying. If we were to remove it, so...
Remove it, I'd be spending more time on Torah. Well, actually, no. I'm spending a lot of time on Torah thoughts now. I'm learning with 7 people.
There you go.
We've got to go. I just got to. I can't. I'm being sarcastic when I read this poem because this is taking a dig at all those out there who want to tell me about not only the airline number, but almost the name of the stewardess that they had on the airline. I don't really need to know that. Because you're really interrupting my Torah thought.
It's interesting. I am actually reminded. I don't know if you've ever read the book The Little Prince. When I was in high school, that was like my favorite book. I read it like weekly, and there it says that people who are like obsessed with matters of consequence was his line, and that this is the absolute most important thing that they could possibly be doing. And The Little Prince just saying, that's really right. little importance whatsoever. So it's interesting with the idea of what people should really be thinking is something important. And I guess doing a good thing, or as you say, learning something new is good. And
doing a mitzvah.
Doing a mitzvah and avoiding the trivial is definitely a good thing. Have you got another one for us?
Let's see what I have here.
Now we're going to be digging into the depths of the Michael Druck archive, okay?
You know, these are all new to you, actually. I was once of God's making. An hour was my time. In reference to an eternity, I had made but one only sign. With those letters embossed in Torah. There was once a promised hour, an age that went too fast, but Torah words were there to stay and to ever, forever last. The chosen were of God's making, eternally there they stood, in reference to words of He on high, doing what Torah could, giving meaning to an embossed tradition. Such an age cultivated in length, gained in skill and in strength, what pillars were built in solid base, learned to rise to a higher space with those chosen letters embossed in Torah. Yes, words adorned in each age, furthering on the stage to where his people would rise and build a temple adorned with letters of his law without so much as a flaw. And we were left with deeper meanings ever on, forever streaming, for we were once and still are of God's making.
Wow, it's pretty incredible. Sounded very apropos for the upcoming holiday of Shavuos, which is in just 2 weeks. You know, the idea of preparing for Torah and that we're here for that. What were you thinking, or what was your state of mind when you wrote that one, Michael? If you remember.
I wanted to make up. I had an incident in synagogue a couple of weeks ago, which I'll never forget, and neither will the rabbi. I was standing up after my Torah reading and reading the called up for an aliyah, and the rabbi said to me, "Do you have any words to say?" I mean, I didn't prepare a poem. I had nothing there. You know, occasionally there are poems underneath the bima, which I would get a hold of, but I was just standing there with nothing. And I said a poem in rhyme that made sense. And he looked at me and he said, "Where'd you get that?" I said, "I just made this up." Mm-hmm. He said, "Well, why are you crying?" I said, "Because I have no idea where this came from. It's gone forever. I just said a poem off the cuff. I just did it, and that's it." And
you couldn't write it down because it was Shabbos. It was gone.
I've never done this before. It's gone forever. And I just went home, on Sunday. I wrote this poem because I kind of want to make up for the... This has nothing to do with the... I know the other poem was a Torah poem about Shabbos. It was about God. I have no clue what it was. I rhymed it. It made sense. Everybody loved it. And I'm in tears. Because I'll never have that poem back again. It just was made up off the top of my head right there.
You are a true poet by every sense of the word. Wow. Okay. So I ask this question every time we have you on. How soon are we going to see the collected poems of Michael Druck?
Did you see my... Oh, you can't see my basement here.
No, on the radio. You should see me do mime on the radio, Michael. Yes.
This room is scattered in piles here because here are the poems about Israel. Here are the poems about Israel. Here are the poems about Shabbos. Here are the poems about this holiday. Here are the poems about that holiday.
So you're in the process. You're categorizing now. So we're like sort of getting there.
I got boxes empty that still are here from Minnesota. I'm still emptying boxes with poems in them. Half poems, full poems, all kinds of poems. It's a major job because I've written almost, I don't know, it could be 1,000. I don't know.
So I have to put
together a book, which would probably divide into sections and, small book to start.
Mm-hmm.
And then write different volumes after that. But okay. I got to get them homes together first.
I'm waiting for my autographed copy there, Michael. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much for coming on, and we wish you continued success.
Thank you.
We'll be calling you again during the 3 weeks. That's provided, unfortunately, Mashiach doesn't come. Otherwise, I'll be seeing you in Jerusalem.
I look forward to it. We've seen each other by seeing you on the internet.
Thank you so much. Okay.
Be well. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. That was Michael Druck, the Jewish Hour's Poet Laureate. Okay, up for your listening pleasure next. This is the Shir Choir, and this is Psalm number 127. We played somebody doing this last week. This is done. This psalm is traditionally sung immediately prior to the grace after meals. Let's listen to the Shir Choir.
Oyoy beshiva shem shiva siyoy, beshiva shem shiva siyoy, oy ini kechoyel mim. Oz yibulay zchoyek bini, yirshoy nayin ininu. Oz
yom riba goyim Igdil Hashem lasoy simay leot Zimu lasoy kvini il shoynay nirinu Oz yom riba goyim Igdil Hashem lasoy simay leot Igdil Hashem lasoy simoni Uyini simay chim Ta-da-da-da-da-da Shira malois Oy oy beshiv Hashem meshiv asiyoy Beshiv Hashem meshiv asiyoy Oy ini gechoyl Bom 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 Ta-da-da-da-da Shira malois Oy oy beshiv Hashem meshiv asiyoy Beshiv Hashem meshiv asiyoy Oy ini gechoyl Bom 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 Chivu Hashem Beshiv Visayni Kafikim Vanegev Azudim Bedimu Bedimu Berinu Berindu Yikzoidim Shivu Hashem Beshiv Visayni Kafikim Vanegev Azudim Bedimu Bedimu Berinu Berindu Yikzoidim Ay, ay, ay Ra-ra-ra-ra-ra, Shira Malois Oy-oy, B'Shiv Hashem, B'Shiv Asiyoy B'Shiv Hashem, B'Shiv Asiyoy Oy-ini Kechoy Ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra, Shira Malois Oy-oy, B'Shiv Hashem, B'Shiv Asiyoy B'Shiv Hashem, B'Shiv Asiyoy Oy-ini Kechoy
Ulakai lachim v'choi noisamei shechazura.
Ulakai lachim
v'choi noisamei shechazura.
Ulakai
lachim v'choi noisamei shechazura.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We're done with last week. We talked about the holidays, the minor holidays of Pesach Sheni and Lag BaOmer, and at Jewish Ferndale we had this amazing pop-up barbecue. And we weren't really planning on doing anything, and somebody just said, "Listen, you got to do it," and we did it, and it was a real hoot. Everybody had a good time was had by all, but. That's history now. If you ask a rabbi, what's the most important holiday? They'll tell you, whichever holiday is coming up next. So 2 weeks is the holiday of Shavuos. It's referred to as the holiday of the Pentecost, which means the revelation of the 5 books of Moses when God said the 10 commandments to the Jewish people. And that week, I will not be broadcasting live as I am doing now, but we'll be playing music as we want to do when it turns out that Sunday turns out to be a holiday. But we can't just jump into it. No. In Judaism, the expression is the preparation is more important than the act, and that begins with the portion of Bahalosecha, which is always read 2 weeks prior to Shavuos. The calendar set up. It is mandated by Ezra HaSofer, the prophet, some 2,200 years ago, 2,300, I don't even know, I remember at the top of my head right now how long ago. Because in this portion of Behalosecha, which is at the end of the book of Leviticus, the Almighty tells Moses of all of the things that are going to happen for noncompliance. Now, in Judaism, we don't believe, it's called the Tochacha, which in English is translated as curses. We don't do that. That's not us. The word Tochacha really means like reproof. It's more like to give a person a good kick in the pants, like get him moving. It's an impetus that everything has to get done. I once asked a very prominent erudite scholar, very, very, he was brilliant, but at the same time, he was a simple person, and he was a very warm individual. So I asked him, why is there a need to have such harsh, what's apparently be harsh reproof in the Bible against the Jewish people, the ones that it says that God loves? And he says, listen, you have a person who works in the palace, and the palace doesn't have the greatest child care, but the person has this kid, and they can't leave the kid at home because there's no one to take. So they bring the kid to the palace. And what happens? The kid gets away and makes a mess in the palace. So whose job is it to clean it up? I said, obviously, the parent's job. And he said, exactly. It says, the Almighty has brought us into the palace. And what happens, unfortunately, is we, as the kid, child of the Almighty, allowed in the palace to run around, sometimes we make a mess. And the Almighty says, don't, I got to clean up the mess that you people make. And that's the idea of getting ready for, is to look at these verses and to look and say, I really need to be focused on doing the right thing all the time. That's really what we're really learning from this portion of the week. We are run out of time for this segment. We've got the Hasidic story coming up next. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Harry Shulfinman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Visit my website, rabbifinman.com, www.rabbifinman.com. And there's right on the homepage a way to contact me. I've tried to make life very easy. That's one of the reasons why I'm on the radio, is to make your life easier, more entertaining, more exciting. And you'll also find on the website archived editions of the show. Did you miss Chana Finman and her insights into what's going on at the Jewish Museum? Check it out. That was a great interview. Got a lot of good feedback from that one. And 2 years back going forward, just click on the radio tab right there. You got it at your fingers. Listen to your heart's content. There's also other ways in which I present Judaism in an entertaining and exciting way, hopefully making it fun. It's all very brief and very easy to access. And there's the very important donations page. Oh, no. We're at the end of May, and we're still doing March, and it gets a little dicey. So I would suggest that, this being Memorial Day, and you do it, go to the computer, and in memory of someone, whoever that someone happens to be, doesn't necessarily have to be a veteran, it would be great if it was a veteran, but in memory of someone, make a contribution to the Jewish Hour, and ensure that quality Jewish radio programming, which has been on air now, we're in our 24th year, should continue. And we do this every month, And next month is June, and we can't go 4 months. We can only do 3 months, and I don't even want to do that. So let's get it together. We need you. Go to the computer, rabbifinman.com, donations. Make a donation. Make it a monthly donation with your PayPal account. Even less is more, as my wife would say, just as long as it's early and often. Do it today. Hasidic story, because we're running out of time really, really fast. This last week was Lag BaOmer, and Lag BaOmer is known in Hasidic circles as a time for miracles among children. Now, I actually heard this story when it first happened, that in 1984, people had come specifically to the Lubavitcher Rebbe to get blessings involving children. And there was one person, his name is Alti Buket, he is now the Shliach in Lexington, Massachusetts. His son, Avraham Buket, it was his house that was set ablaze last week in Newton, Massachusetts, I believe it is. So this Alti Buket was in charge of opening and closing the Rebbe's doors. The Rebbe would come down from his house. He would walk to his car. The Alti's job was to open the door. The Rebbe would sit down, and his job was to close the door, and the driver would then walk away. But there was a crowd. There was a throng. He's one guy in this mass, and they're all trying to get the Rebbe's attention. As he's about to close the door, there was one person who was not a Lubavitcher. In fact, he's identified as a Satmar Chassid from a different group, who stuck his head in and said, "Rebbe, I'm married many years. Please give me a bracha." Alti heard all this, and the Rebbe looked at him and said, "But your son will need a playmate." And the man was sort of taken aback. And the Rebbe said again, "Your son will need a playmate." And he said it again, "Your son will need a playmate." And the guy was like, and the Rebbe looked at him and said, "Zucht omein, say amen." And the man said, "Amen." Okay, Alti still looked at him. They had to close the door. Alti and the two of them looked at each other like, what just happened? Totally complete bewilderment. That was the end of the story then. Some 15 years later, Alti, who is Alti Buket, Rabbi Alter Buket, who is now out as the rabbi in Lexington, Massachusetts, came back down to New York in order to visit his father's grave. His father had passed away like a year ago, and he wanted to visit. But he had a whole schedule. I can't believe a people could actually do this. He left Boston at midnight with the idea of returning back to Boston by 9 a.m. And he was just going to spend like some small amount of time at the grave. His father is buried like right next to the Rebbe. And he saw, it's 5 o'clock in the morning, there's no one around. The lights are always on over there. It's if you're ever in like that area of Queens, Cambria Heights, it's definitely something to go see, to go to the Rebbe's grave and to pray. It's a very holy place. There was a person who he recognized as being from the Satmar Chassidim with the two twin bar mitzvah bachers. They was there 13 years old, and there's a certain prayers that are said, and they got through saying. Then this person took out a pamphlet and told his one son, "Nu zug, say it." And it was the discourse which Lubavitcher bar mitzvah bachrim say at the day of their bar mitzvah. And he said it, and he gave it to another one and said, "Nu, du eichet, you also say." So he said, "Who are you? What are you doing here at 5 o'clock in the morning?" He said, "These are the Rebbe's children." He said, "What are you talking about?" He said, he once stuck his head in the Rebbe's car on Lag BaOmer, and he asked for a bracha, and the Rebbe said, "Your son will also need a playmate." And 2.5 years later, my twin sons were born. And these are the only children that I have. And Alti looked at him and said, "Was that 1984? He said, "Yeah." He says, "I was the guy holding the door open." He said, "Do you remember?" They looked at each other. He said, "Yeah." They gave each other a hug. Alti went back to Boston. And everybody lived happily ever after. That's going to do it for us. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We hope to see you back again next week. Take care.